Psalms 91. If you have a Bible, shall we open our Bibles to that? If somebody does not have the word, share your word with them. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your feet, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. Hallelujah. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. That signifies authority. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Remember, there is no bondage that you are in which the Lord cannot deliver you from. Are you with me? Sometimes we think that the bondage is too deep, we are too bound to be ever rescued by anyone. There is no bondage that is ever the devil has created for your life and for my life which Jesus cannot set you free from. Amen. Because He set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Hallelujah. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him. I show him my salvation. 5 times in the 14 to 16 words you will find, I will, the Lord say. I will deliver him. I will set him on high. I will be with him. Again it says, I will deliver him and honor him, and I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. But today I want to preach to you from this one word, the third verse. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Say, snare of the fowler. Well, many a time we go through this psalm without understanding what the word is all saying about. I was meditating on that one word for some time, and the Lord was showing me forth that six things that the devil tries to put as a snare in front of you, and from which the Lord our God will save you and me. And many a person does not know what the snare of the fowler is and what the snare is. And sometimes you must have got yourself entangled in a snare, and you want to know how the Lord can bring you out. How many of you would like to know what the snares are and how to come out of it? Amen. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. The first snare that the Bible speaks about is in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. The 7th chapter of Deuteronomy and the 16th verse. Where the word of the Lord says there, and you shall destroy all the peoples whom the Lord your God delivers over to you. Your eyes shall have no pity on them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that it will be a snare to you. You shall not serve their gods, for they will be a snare to you. You shall not go to find out how the pagans worship their gods or how they sacrifice to their gods, nor in the way that they offer their sacrifices. For if you will do so, it will be a snare for you. One of the other scripture versions in the book of Judges chapter 2 and verse 3, speaking about other gods, uses the word, you shall not go down before an idol, for they shall be a snare to you. In other words, what does the Lord say? We know there are temples and mosques and all that where God has forbidden us not to go and bow down. We are people who are believers. That's why we have a church meeting here today, or a fellowship or a believers meeting today. But there are idols which God tells you that you should be careful of, or otherwise it will snare you and it will keep you bound. An idol is anything that you substitute for Jesus. An idol is where you will run to when you are in trouble. An idol is where you will put your trust upon when you have a need. An idol is what you will call upon the minute you seem to have God entangled in the mess. What is the first thing that comes into your mind, into your heart, when you are going through a struggle? Some people put their idol as themselves. They immediately try to get out of that by themselves. And the more they try to get out of it by themselves, they get entangled in the more. Sometimes you are in a code of sin. Sometimes you are bound by legalism or whatever. And you try to come out of it by your own strength, because your idol is you. I, myself, me, no one else. And when you do that, you will find that again and again you are falling into the same pit from which you were trying to come out. That is why in Psalms 40 and verse 1 it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He came and He rescued me. Are you with me? The best place to be in is at the feet of the Lord. And He said, Lord, unless you bring me out of this, I cannot come out of it. Draw me out of it, and you will find immediately. An idol is anything that you substitute for the Lord. The Bible in Ezekiel 14 speaks about idols in the heart. That's what I'm speaking about. We know the idols outside. The idols in the heart, it can be your intellectual pride, your way of thinking, where you are not willing to surrender and submit that, and that is primary for you. The very belief system that you hold on to without holding on to Jesus. It can be an idol. The very philosophy that you believe in, it can be the idol. It can be your car, it can be your books, it can be your movies, it can be whatever. We know the idols. What is your heart full of? Well, the Bible says it will be a snare. The Bible says when you will meditate upon the word, the Lord will bring you out of that snare. Are you with me? Amen? Where? What is the truth you're holding in your heart? All of yourself, you have none of God. Less of yourself, you have something of God. None of yourself, and you have all of God. Submit to this. You want to walk in the freedom of Christ? Walk in the anointing? It means I should decrease and the Lord should increase. Amen? The second snare. The first snare is idols. Whatever form it might take. Where it takes the form of a preacher, where it takes the form of religious books and spirituality, sometimes our own spirituality can become an idol without Jesus. We can be so caught up with our spirituality that we forget to have Jesus there in our lives. Do you remember? Temple of Jerusalem, Mary, Joseph, all of them going on to, with the rest of the believers, to worship God. I mean, to keep the festival. After one day of journey, suddenly they found out Jesus not with them. Mary is saying maybe with Joseph. Joseph is saying maybe with Mary. One day of plan, can you think of it? Sometimes we can, they were going to a festival, remember, a religious festival. When they go for the festival, tradition says, they sing Psalm 113 to 118. Five Psalms, they're singing all the way. There's clapping, there's smiling, there's jumping around, all that is there. But Jesus is not there. They had to go back 3 days journey, 3 days search to find out the Jesus that they're looking. They were caught up in spirituality. Sometimes we can be so caught up with what's 10 minutes grace, 2 minutes that, and we forget to have Jesus. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 says, check yourselves to find out whether you are living in faith. It means check yourselves to find out whether you are walking with Christ. Check yourselves to find out. I check every minute, Lord, are you with me? Amen. Second thing that God wants to bring you out of the snare, number 2, Proverbs 6. And 1 to 5. Are you with me today? Hallelujah. My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands and pledged for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your own mouth. Underline that word snare. Snared by the words of your own mouth. Snared by your own words. Snared by your own mouth. You have been taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver your sin. For you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble himself. Humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Snared. In another version, I think it's the goodness version, says, snared by the promises that you cannot keep. Snared by it. Some people are always making promises. They're always promising something to someone or someone else, or maybe to the Lord himself. Which they find they're unable to keep. And that leads them to guilt, to depression and all that. And they do not know how to come out of it. Snared by your own words. One of the words that is used is, for that promise is, people who pledge themselves to a covenant which they cannot keep. A covenant. They break a covenant. That's what it means. You remember when David and Jonathan made a covenant between themselves. David loved Jonathan so much that he said, let's make a covenant. I love you as my own soul. So they slit the wrist, brought the blood together, mingled it together. That was one of the ways that people would do, but it is not spiritually right in the New Testament. I'll explain that later on. But they made a covenant between themselves that they would be faithful, and they kept that covenant. But you will find in the scriptures, Joshua made a covenant when they entered the promised land with the Gibeonites. And he said to them, God has given us the land. Wherever we go, we will take victory. We will have victory. But we are making a covenant with you. We assure you of our protection, because they came and pleaded it. You can check that story later. And he made a covenant with them as the leader of the house of Israel. But later on, 2 Samuel chapter 21 tells us, 2 Samuel 21, verses 2 and 3 says, now the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. The children of Israel had sworn protection to them. But Saul had sought to kill them in a zeal for the children of Israel and Judah. Therefore David is going and saying to them, I will honor the covenant that was made with you, and I'll make sure that you are kept. Are you with me? He made sure that the covenant was not broken. People, there is something which we always forget. Some of you, you take a commitment to the Lord's work, to a ministry, the things that you would do with people for the glory of His kingdom. You take that and you break it. Remember, it is a sin, and that you should confess it before God. Are you with me? People, when they have an honeymoon experience with the Lord, they always make a vow immediately. Have you seen that? Immediately they'll make a vow. Lord, I'll do it. I'll do that. Brother, I'll be with you. Don't worry. But the first thing comes, you won't find them at all. The third thing, snare. Proverbs 29. Verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man brings a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man. We hide our fear. We deny our fear. We suppress our fear. But remember this, the fear of man. You remember in Revelation chapter 21, in the 8th verse, when those 8 things are mentioned about people who will go into the pit of sulfur or the lake of sulfur, you will find one of them are the cowardly, the people who are scared. I was just thinking about it. You know, whenever the fear of man brings a snare, we were in Bihar, and every time we were to go forth into the stage to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus and stand there, knowing there is danger in the crowd, you're faced with 2 options. The first day the priest came and told me, preach, but please make sure that you go lightly on Jesus. We don't say Jesus. I know here in Cochin, in a place where we went to preach one day, and the people there came and said, don't say Jesus, because there's a huge crowd here, just say God. You're faced with an option. Either you can deny the Lord, or you can trust in the Lord and stand up for the Lord. Are you with me? You know that when are angels released to minister for you and keep you? Do you know when? When are angels released to be around you, to guard you? You hear in Psalm 9, it says, the angels of God shall keep you. Well, how does an angel minister to you? You remember, Jesus said, if you will deny me before others, I shall deny you before my heavenly Father. Well, that is in the Gospel of Matthew. But when you will look into the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, it says, if you will deny me before others, I shall deny you before the angels. If you will confess me before others, I shall confess you before the angels in heaven. In other words, God is saying, if you will stand up for me and for my word, and if you will speak my word, then I shall release my angels. My angels will move forth only when you stand up for me. Father, but in the gospel book it says, honor you before the angel. Why? Because Psalm 103 and verse 20 says, the angels who do the bidding according to the word. So if you will keep the word, so when you fear man, and if you will deny Jesus. When we were in Andhra, I loved the way Brother Joseph preached to the priest. any standard for the Lord, are you going to move away from the gospel and from evangelization and from preaching the gospel and witnessing for the Lord because of the fear of human religions? Are you going to deny the Lord because you're scared what your family will say? Are you scared to associate with the Lord and with His disciples because you do not know what the rest of the family and what are the rest of the people in your society and neighborhood will say? Fear of man brings a snare. You know, I have had people come to me in the evenings when there is no one. They'll come slowly and say, "Please, brother, pray for me. Please tell me a word from God. Please pray for me, Lord." But in front of the crowd, they will deny. The crowd, they will deny you. They'll say, "Oh my God, I think this guy is a Pentecost. I don't know who it is. I mean, what this is all about." But secretly, they will come listen to the word. They will secretly come, get prayed over, get the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, whatever word that you can get, you get. You remember in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Verse 2. Are you here with me today? The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. The 22nd chapter. And verse 2 it says, "And the chief priests and the scribes thought how they might kill him, for they feared the people." They feared the 20th chapter, 19th verse of the Gospel of Luke. "And the chief priests and the scribes that very hour sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the people." Or in other words, they were afraid, for they knew that he had spoken this parable against them. They feared the people. My brother, my sister, if you will fear people and if you will deny Jesus and the work for which God has called you and the very place that you will go to worship God, God will never honor your life. It is a snare that you can fall into. You remember Jesus said, "If they give a glass of cold water to one of you because you are a disciple, great is his reward." If they will give a glass of cold water to one of my disciples because he's my disciple. In other words, because you know he's a disciple of Christ, because you know he is the work of the Lord, if you will acknowledge that, then comes your reward. That's what the Lord does. Are you with me today? You remember Peter, before he came to the experience of the Holy Spirit falling upon him and the Lord using him as a mighty witness, you will find there are two times that Peter jumps out of a boat. One is the first time he sees the Lord walk on the water and come. And he's so captivated by the wicked thought, "God, if I can do the same thing." God says, "Come, Peter, I know you. Come, come out." He's so desirous for that, he jumps out of the boat. The second time is the time when he's denied the Lord the strength of those servant girls and two others when he denied the Lord. And after he's denied the Lord, he goes back fishing and he's on the boat. The Lord stands at the shore and says, "Have you caught anything? Have you caught anything?" "No." "Put the net on the other side." They put, and the net is full of fish. Suddenly they recognize it's the Lord. And what happened? Peter, a fisherman who was fishing in the seas, he suddenly finds the Lord. He jumps out of the boat. You know how he jumps out? Gospel of John chapter 21 says, he jumps out, and before he jumps out, he puts the cloth on. He puts his cloth on before you would ever jump into the water. You would take your clothes off. He had his clothes on, but he put it on again and then jumped. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned? They covered themselves with the fig leaves. Well, there's something similar to that. Immediately wants to have some covering over him. The Lord. And he comes out. And the Lord says, come, bring some of the fish. Bring some of the fish that you got. But Peter goes and he drags the whole net. When you deny the Lord and deny his body, one is that you will put up a covenant. Second thing is you will take a huge burden which God has not called you to take. And you will drag somewhere, please accept me, oh God. Are you dragging something today? Have you denied the Lord because of the fear of man? Have you denied his body? You remember when Paul was persecuting, the soul was persecuting the church, said, why are you kicking against me? But Saul never did anything against Jesus. He only did it against his disciples. Remember this. If you will do anything against the Lord and against his body, it's the same. And if you will do it for out of fear of men, what they will say. The Gospel of John chapter 12. Are you with me today? Gospel of John chapter 12. Should be put out of the synagogue, for they allowed the praise of men more than the praise of God. What a word. What a word. They allowed the praise of men than the praise of God. Into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Money is not the root of all sin. The love of money is the root of all sin. And because of the love of money, some have strayed away from faith. They're so busy, they want to do business all the time. They want to work all the time that they have no time for the Lord and for his word and for his work. They stray away from their personal time of prayer because of the work. This is a dangerous work. They stray away from their faith, from their word reading. Why? Because of the love of money. And they have pierced themselves and added sorrow unto their lives. The word used is pierced. It's got the meaning, if you are in the love of money, you're actually taking a dagger and pierced, hitting yourself, stabbing yourself. Instead of building your life, you're killing yourself. What the meaning is. Pierce. Are you so busy that you have no time for the Lord? When was the last time that you actually sat, solidly started? I mean, another person sometime back just came and told me, I'm in the ministry. He's got a strong call. And he said, now I'm working. That made me the head, I mean, the GM and all that. And I found the glory of God and left him. Then I asked him, the work is good. There's nothing wrong with that work. It's good. But what about your time with the Lord? Your prayer time, your word, the ministry that God wants you to do. Are you in those kind of shoes today? Business. Suddenly the Lord comes and calls you and says, come out, close the shop and come. The love of money. The fifth one. Proverbs 29 verse 5. Snare. Hallelujah. And the fifth verse, the man who flatters his neighbor, the man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. The man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. And the version of the Bible says, lays a snare for him. A man who flatters. Have you found people like that always flattering you? Once a preacher was coming out of his pulpit, and suddenly a man came and said to the preacher, great talk. Oh, what a talk. Unbelievable talk. There is no one like you, preacher. What English, what style, what class, what jumping, what throwing, all that. Great, great. Said, thank you. You're the second person to tell me. This man's the second person. But I thought I was the first because I saw no one else coming to you. Oh, the preacher said, the minute I stopped my talk, the devil came and told me, great. Now you are the second person coming. There are two types of people or two groups of people who will fall into flattery. You want to know if you are one of them? Two groups of people who will fall into flattery. You know who they are? Men and women. Are you there? You know what flattery is? Flattery is telling others exactly what they think of themselves. Flattery is telling others exactly what they think of themselves. That is why I told you many times, too many pats on the back will make you fall flat on your own. Are you with me? The word of God is sometimes to rebuke you. Sometimes people only want that patting on the back. Pastor didn't pat me on the back. Sometimes the only one that too many pats on the back can make you fall forward flat on your nose. Flattery is telling others exactly what they think of themselves. Flattery is like cologne water. good to be smelled, but not swallowed. Are you with me? Smell it, but don't swallow it. Lost in digestion. Hallelujah. The sixth one. We stop with that because there's no time. Well, I'll just give you one scripture. Job 32 and verse 21. What Job had to say. 32nd chapter. Job is praying. Let this be your prayer also. Let me not, I pray, show partiality to anyone, nor let me flatter any man. Are you with me? There is a difference between honest appreciation and flattery. Huh? There is a honest appreciation, there is flattery. Now here is Job praying. Let me not flatter any man, nor show partiality to any man. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 4 and 5. Paul preaching these sayings to the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 4 and 5. But we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is a witness. Sixth one. Come to close with that. This. Actually, I want to preach a little bit on that, but not like we have time for that. It is on Ecclesiastes, it is the 7th chapter. And the 26th verse. The sixth snare that God wants to set you free from. The 7th chapter of Ecclesiastes. And the 26th verse. The 7th chapter and 26th verse. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. It speaks about sexual immorality. Remember, the Lord's body is a holy church. He is coming for a church that is glorious, that is without a spot or a blemish or a wrinkle. Be holy, for the Lord thy God is holy. He is coming for a church that is holy, that is wholly consecrated to him. Now, immorality is a snare. Are you with me? It is a snare. It is like a bird. When you tie one of his feet to a post and you tell the bird, fly, fly, fly. Will it fly? How far will it fly? Some people are just caught in one feet right there. And they're trying to fly, fly, fly. First you should put it out. First that change, go. Then you are able to fly. It is said about a monkey. You know how monkeys are caught? Take a coconut or a tin or whatever, make a small hole on top and you put groundnuts inside that. The hand can go with it. But if it comes like a fist, it can't go with it. Are you with me? Only the space for a hand to go with, the fingers to go with. So what happens? The monkey smells the groundnut and he comes and puts that finger there. He gets the ground. And then it closes that hand and tries to bring it out. It's gone. It can rob that groundnut and run. But it won't. Some people come and catch. Oh, this is the same thing that the devil does. You have to drop that garment, then you can go. But if you try to take that, if you try to keep that relationship that is wrong, if you try to hold on to that pornography that is wrong, if you try to hold on to that MTV, the snare is laid, the net will fall. Are you with me? Hey, hello. God wants to bring you out of all of them. Look at someone and say, God wants to bring me out of all of them. Out of all of them. Out of all of them. Amen. Now, how does he bring you out? I just take one scripture. That's for your meditation. That's Psalm 124. And let this be your prayer this week. Psalm 124. Seventh verse. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Remember this. Remember this one more time. I'm reading this. Memorize the scripture. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Look at someone and read the scripture to them, please. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Now the fifth verse says, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to it. Remember this, the snare is broken. The snare is broken. 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, every snare that the devil had in mind for your life was broken on Calvary's cross by the blood of the Lamb. It is broken. It's past tense. Are you with me? It is past tense. It is broken. But where do you and me need to know it? It's not in our spirit. Spirit, we are saved from the penalty of sin through the blood. Know it in your soul. A soul has escaped. The soul signifies your mind. Are you with me? Even after you have been set free, if you still continue to believe that you are bound, you will act as if you are bound. Some people will come and pray and say, Lord, please set me free. Lord, set me free. They've been praying like that for 100 million years. When is the last time you said, thank you, Lord, for setting me free? Hallelujah. Our soul has escaped. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. You need to be more righteous conscious than you are sin conscious. You need to know more about, are you always on a guilt trip? Or are you more aware of your righteousness more than anything else? That's why the Bible says, be renewed in your mind. Are you with me? Remember, Jesus went up Calvary's cross to get you the victory. You don't have to go up Calvary's cross. You start from Calvary's cross. Jesus already went up the mountain with a cross and he broke the bondage right there on Calvary's cross. And don't try to go up that hill again. But see yourself in Christ first. Are you with me? Who you are in Christ. That you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. That he whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. And from there you start your walk. Your mind, that you need to have your mind renewed. Your soul renewed. Scripture more. powerful song. And 33 to 35. 32 onwards. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and sets me on my high places. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not fall. Amen. Amen. Shall we close our eyes? He broadens the path beneath your feet, that your ankles might not slip. Right now, as we praise, I want you to know who you are in Christ. Remember, sanctification begins inside out, not outside in. He gives you his identity. He's put his word inside of you. Young men, you have overcome the evil one because the word of God richly dwells in you. Greater is the one who is in you than the one that is in the world. Let go of those groundnets. Lift your hands to the Lord. And in the presence of the Lord.